Hey, welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For sermon notes and videos related to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
This entire month, I want to talk to you about God's giving paradigm. And I want to talk to you about how God uses this paradigm to do many things in our lives, one of which is to bless us. The way God brings blessing into our life is actually the exact opposite of the way people think outside of the kingdom of God. And my hope is in this series is that you don't learn something, but you have a revelation of something that will change the way you live your life, that will enable you actually to fulfill the reason you're put on earth. And the way God's giving paradigm is so critically important to understand as a believer. I'm asked very often, because of the size of our church and some of the rumors that go around about us, I have people come to me and say, well, it's that rich person church. And I'm thinking, where's that guy? I'd like to meet him, you know? That's that money church. And I'm thinking, money church. We ain't never had a penny for anything we ever stepped in to do. We trusted God and he showed up. And it's been that way for going on 26 years. And they say, well, how often do you teach and preach about giving? And people ask that question pretty regularly. The answer is every week. So you preach about giving money every week? No. I said, I preach about giving every week. Giving money is a part of giving, but giving is the way, that's the very heart of who God is. It's the very essence of the nature of God. God so loved the world that he gave. The principal expression of the presence of God is giving. The principal revelation of the person of God is giving. You will never be more Christ-like than when you are giving. And I don't mean just money, just giving in general. Proverbs 3 verse 9 gives us a peek into the paradigm of God's giving. He said, honor the Lord by giving him the first part of all your income. Say all your income. Now honor God. Everyone say honor God. Honor him by giving him the first part. The first part. That's, the Bible refers to that as your tithe. What's a tithe? It's a tenth. The word tithe, I heard somebody say one time, I tithe 4%. No, tithe means 10%. It's the meaning of the word in Hebrew. It's a tenth. That's what it means. And he said, bring a tenth of all of your income into God's kingdom, into God's house, into his church in the new covenant. And listen to what he said is the outcome. And he, God, will fill your barns with wheat and barley and overflow your wine vats with the finest wines. You say, I don't have barns and I don't have vats, but you have a life. And this is an agricultural society. And what God's speaking to you and to me about is simply this. When you operate within my giving paradigm, it creates the avenue by which I can take heaven and bring it to earth. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, so that I can be the God who literally fills you. And then he said, overflows you. Remember this. God is a too much God. His name, El Shaddai, in the Hebrew, he defines himself as El Shaddai, the Almighty God. El Shaddai in the Hebrew means the many-breasted one. And here's the connotation. One baby, 70 breasts. Too many. That's what he's saying. He reveals himself as the too-much God. He said, your cup runneth over. You can't put a cup in front of the creator of the world and ask him to fill it. Anything God touches overflows. And when you understand that about the giving paradigm in the heart and the nature of God, it will change everything about the way you live your life. And it actually will help you to live a life of faith that few other things can do. So let me ask the first question. We're going to just touch on three things this morning. The first one is this. Why did God invent giving? Why did he create giving? What's with that? Well, if you ask most people, even Christians, most Christians would say God designed giving so that his work could be funded in the earth. I disagree completely. God did not need my money to do his work in the earth. He made the earth. So why would God design giving and, though, tie his work in the earth to my obedience in that regard? Why would he do that? Does God really need my money? Really? I mean, we're talking about God. The God, the maker, who always was, always will be, the maker of the heavens and the earth and the stars that are innumerable. He doesn't need my money. So why giving? And that's what I want to help you understand. Understand this. Giving is not for God's benefit. It's for my benefit. It's for your benefit. And I want this to come up on the screen as I wrote it. It's impossible It's impossible to live a fully surrendered life toward God and toward people without a fully surrendered heart toward giving and generosity. It's impossible. Here's the reality that I hope to help you to see today. Every one of us are made in the likeness and in the image of God. And giving is the principal expression of the nature of God. You are made in the likeness and image of God. And God said in His Word that He wants us to labor together with Him. And the manner in which God wants us to labor together with Him is congruent with His nature. God is a giving God. The principal expression of the nature of God, which is love, is to give. And what He's basically telling us is this: I've made you in my likeness and my image. And I didn't just put you on the earth as a bunch of little pawns. I've called you through Christ to be my sons and daughters. And when you labor and work together with me, do you know the Bible said that we labor together with God? Do you know the privilege that is, that the God of the universe chose us as His, not just servants, not just He's cleansed us of our sin and He can't stomach us, but He will because of Jesus. He said, no, no, no. Now I make you my very own, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, sons and daughters of the living God. Christ in you, your only hope of glory. You become. Your body becomes the very temple of the living God. He said, I will no longer dwell in buildings made with man's hands, but I will walk in them and I will dwell in them, and I will be their God and they will be my people. The reason giving is so critical, it's the nature of God. And God said, when you work with me, you have to work within the nature of who I am. My image in you is to be a giver. And so for you to be used in the earth in relationship with me and in conjunction with me and laboring with me, you have to be a giver. It's critically important, because giving is not a responsibility. It's not a burden, but it's a privilege. And it's one of the primary ways, not the only way, but one of the primary ways God has chosen to work with us in the earth to be the salt and the light to this planet Jesus called us to be. See, when you labor together with God, you have to understand this, that apart from giving, you will never be able to fulfill the plan of God on the earth. It's impossible. It's absolutely impossible. Charles Spurgeon, who was in the 1800s in England and was world-renowned, God used him mightily. He was called a prince of preachers. One of the statements he made, which I think is so incredible, was this: not for yourself, O church, do you exist any more than Christ existed for Himself. Spurgeon had an insight that Jesus didn't come here for Himself, and you don't exist for yourself. Giving breaks the back of selfishness. Giving breaks the back of the lies that we believe that we have to protect ourselves from God. Religion tells you, see, when you hear the word giving, the room tightens up. Man, I wouldn't have come here if you can talk about getting my stuff. Leave me alone. I have enough problems without people taking my money. Because you think when you give that something's leaving your life. And you don't understand that you're actually joining in your partnership with your Father God. And the nature of God begins to govern your life. It's so critically important. See, as a kingdom builder, your generosity and your... God chose it this way. He didn't have to do it this way. But He privileged us, not burdened us, not made us some legalistic responsibility, but He privileged us that He lets our giving actually partner with Him in the earth. And He takes what is temporal money that can be used for the most horrific things on the planet, and He sanctifies that money, and it has an eternal purpose. And literally, Jesus said that temporal or temporary or money that will pass away becomes an eternal reward to you as well. When I was in Bible school, I was poor like most Bible school students. This was back when the steel mills shut down and my dad lost his job and there just wasn't any money. I was in Bible school, and I'll give you the reason how I got down to zero money, but in here in a little bit, but I didn't have anything. I was working a job, and yet my home church sent me money every month to help me. And then my step-grandma, who was my real grandma died in 1978. Then my granddad remarried. He was 77 years old, was married to her for 10 years. And then she was a powerful lady. She loved God. Saved and Spirit-filled in 1925. Powerful lady, man. And they didn't have a lot of money, but every month she sent me $25. One-third of our kingdom builders is future Christian leaders. See, nobody knew when she was investing in me then this would happen. Somebody has to see the seed of the call of God on a generation and make the investment. When you're a kingdom builder in this church and give above your tithe into kingdom builders, you are raising up a generation of future Christian leaders. Your generosity is what God will use to enable many of these young men and women to be trained in the kingdom of God. Because the only hope of this world is the kingdom. The only hope of this world is Jesus. The only hope of this world is his people, the church. It's the only hope of this world. The second thing I want you to understand about God's giving paradigm is this. The tithing and giving will keep God first in your heart and in your life. See, God's name even means first. He calls himself Alpha. He is preeminent in all things. God can't be second. I can make him second, but he can't be second. In my own life, I can devalue God. I can be in pride and make him second in my life. But he can't be second. It's impossible for God to be second. It's as much as it is, the scripture said, as it is impossible for God to lie. Tithing and giving. And now tithing is simply this, taking a tenth of everything you make and you bring it into your church and you put it into the kingdom of God. Now, look, I was raised in a church where there was a $2 a week Sunday club. And they put it in the bulletin, all the folks that gave $2. And there's a ton of them. And I read it every week. And I find my dad's name. And my dad gave $2 this week. Won't even buy me a beef jerky. That's how I thought. I thought, dog, threw $2 away to this church and wouldn't buy me a beef jerky. Then I go up and at the top, there was one guy every week, gave $75. I remember looking at that thinking, is he stupid? Why would anybody throw away their money and give it to some goofy church? You see, my thinking, most people when you say a tithe, they're like 10%. What, are you out of your mind? No. I'm trying to get me out of my mind, out of your mind, into the mind of God. So you can live a different kind of life. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6. Jesus said, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. That doesn't mean you shouldn't save money. He's not saying that. The book of Proverbs tells you that. That's a wise thing to do. Do not lay up treasures for yourselves on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves can break in and steal it. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth or rust will destroy and a thief can't break in and steal it. Now listen to this word. Listen to this sentence. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure, where your money goes, that's where your heart is. So I don't know where my heart is. This is a perfect window into how you live and what you believe and what you value and what you treasure. All you have to do over the last year, if you can, track where your money's been spent. And if you'll see where your money's been spent, you'll see where your treasure is. Some people it's in a hobby. Some people it's in a house. Some people it's in the kingdom. And for all of us, if you have kids, it's in your kids. You want to know why our treasure goes where our children? Because that's where our heart is. If you would have told me at this stage and age in my life, I would have found it one of the greatest joys of my life to help my children live their future. I would have thought, no, come on, man. I want some money for me. I just don't remember a time. In our 31 years of marriage, since we had kids, that we ever had a sentence about, What about us? It's not that we don't matter. It's not that we haven't done things for ourselves. But we are so desperately in love with our children that we're willing to pour every resource we have, every part of our life into them to better their life. Where your treasure is, your heart is also. And when you learn to be a tither and a giver, your treasure goes into the kingdom, and that keeps your heart connected to it. Because if your heart, Jesus said it this way. He said, you can honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. I don't know if you've ever had this happen to you. If you're a Christian any length of time, it's happened to you. I know it's happened to me. You're going along in your relationship with God and you're doing all the things you think you should do and somehow your heart's gone. You're saying things, but somehow there's no resonance in your heart. It seems like it's gone. Has that ever happened to you? It's happened to me. I'll try this side of the church because y'all lie. Has that ever happened to you? Tithing and giving is a way to keep your heart connected to the kingdom. If tomorrow morning you decide to put $20,000 into a stock, let's say Microsoft, and you've never invested in Microsoft, but if you put $20,000 in Microsoft tomorrow, can I tell you what you start to do every day? You start to look at Microsoft stock. You may have never looked at it in your life, but now you want to know, is it up, is it down? You'll put alerts in your phone. You'll tell your broker, hey, when it reaches this thing, sell it, and then I'll make my profit. Now, I don't know a lot about stocks. Somebody asked me when I was younger, tell me about your portfolio, and I thought they meant a suitcase. I had no idea what they meant. But here's what I want you to understand. Where your treasure is, your heart is also. Where your treasure is, your heart is also. Our response to being a tither and a giver is a revelation to what we really have in our inside person, in our inner man, how we think, in our soulish realm, how we believe, and what governs our life. Jesus said it this way. Look at Luke 16. Jesus was talking about money here. You know, there are over 1,000 scriptures in the Bible that talk to you about God's desire to prosper you. 1,000. So that seems extreme. Not for a father. Not for a parent. If I wrote a book and you said, how much of it was talking about how much you want good for your kids? And I said, two sentences, you'd say, you must not be much of a dad. 1,000 times in the Bible, he said, I want to prosper my kids. This is how he does it. But all but money, it's such a window into our soul. Jesus said in Luke 16, whoever can be trusted with very little, and he's referring to money here, can also be trusted with much, in which he's referring to people. Whoever is dishonest with very little, referring to money, will also be dishonest with much, referring to people. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches or people? If you've not been trustworthy with someone else's property, and that's actually referring to your tithe. What do you mean? Because the tithe is God's. It belongs to him. The Bible said it's holy. That means a dime of every dollar I make is God's. It's not mine. It's God's. That's why you don't give your tithe. You bring your tithe. You only give what belongs to you. The tithe belongs to God. So when I come and I put it in the kingdom, I'm not giving it. I'm bringing it. See, if I said, Michelle, bring me my Bible, and she hands it to me, she wouldn't walk out and say, I gave John a Bible today. I gave John a Bible today. She brought me what belonged to me. Tithing, there's only two options with tithing. You either bring it or you steal it. You say, well, that sounds happy. Thank you, Jesus. But when you understand this, and that's what we're going to take 4 weeks, when you understand the connection to living the life you were meant to live, it will change your world. Listen to what Jesus said. If you've not been trustworthy with handling someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other. He'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Now listen to verse 14. The Pharisees, who loved money, heard all of this and were sneering at Jesus. When you hear teachings about stewardship and the stewardship of your life beyond money, and it causes your heart to tighten, and cynicism rises up in you, be very careful. That's what the Pharisees did, because they love money. And what I would suggest to you, that between you living a full life, fully devoted, truly living out of your spirit by faith before God, for many people, the only thing that stands between them and that is a thin dime of every dollar. And people live and die, and they never take that simple step. Can you imagine standing before God in this is what you valued above the fulfillment of the full orb of the power of God in my life? Let me take you further into this. In the early part of my life as a Christian and in ministry, I look back and I always wondered, why were so many of the obedience tests for Michelle and I and for me before we were together money tests? Time and time again. I don't even remember them all. I'm starting to remember them as I think about it. It happened so often, I don't even remember them all. I came back to the Lord and was and left college, and I'm going to go now to Bible school. And as I'm just one day just spending time with the Lord, the Holy Spirit speaks to my heart, and I was tithing, giving a tenth of my minimum wage job. He said, I want you to bump that up and give now 10% on top of it. And now I'm just being very honest with you. Because of my biblical ignorance, I don't understand what I'm teaching you today. I was kind of upset with God. I was like, really? I said, Lord, I can tell you 50 people in that church that wouldn't miss this money forever. Why don't you get them to give it to you? Why are you bothering me? You that hard up? You need another 10% of minimum wage? What's the deal? See, I thought it was about money. Had nothing to do with money. John, if you can't be faithful in that which is little, I'll never be able to trust you with that which is much. If you cannot be faithful, John, with one of these, I'll never be able to trust you with a room of these. That's why if a young man wants to marry my daughter, I want to know if he tithes. You say, well, why would you do that? Because if he will take from God for his own well-being, what do you think he'll do for my daughter when he needs something? If you've not been faithful in handling worldly wealth, who will give you what is of their own? So if a young man wants my daughter and bring her into his life, and Jim Bob has been taking from God for his well-being, I say, Jim Bob, you ain't dragging my daughter behind your emotional bumper and your goofy financial bumper the rest of your life. Because every time you have a need, it's going to be fine for you to take it from her. The marriage, by the way, do y'all know this? Without giving, marriage fails. You can't have a great marriage without being a giver. I can promise you one thing that exists in every great marriage. Two people that have chosen to give when they don't feel like it. I can tell you one thing in every lousy marriage. People who don't give because they don't feel like it. And we'll talk about that another day. Thank you, Jesus. When I was in Bible school, and that's why the giving was so important when I was there. It made such a difference to me. I was there about a week. And I had worked a job and saved money, and I'm at Bible school. And I have $500, and my tuition's fully paid. You have to understand, $500 in 1981 to a Bible school student, I might as well have been a millionaire. I had about $506, something like that, in my checking account. And man, that's a ton of money to me. And I'm just, man, because I had worked in the steel mill the year before, and I had this remaining money, and my dad had lost his job, and I'm in a prayer meeting at the school, and the Holy Spirit speaks to my heart. Actually, I have my eyes closed worshiping God, and I saw it. It was this quick. I saw this girl that went to my church. I saw it. It was like I saw her face, and then I saw $500. And I knew I had to send it to her. And I thought, Lord, that's crazy. I'm in Bible school. I told them people in the church could give the money. I gave them names. I called my mom and I asked her about so-and-so. She said, she was just at the house. I said, tell me what's going on in their life. Well, she asked me not to say anything. I said, Mom, would you tell me? And she told me, she said, well, since she'd become a Christian, her family has been very upset with her, and her father said, I'm not paying your tuition if you're going to go on with this Jesus thing. You let Jesus pay your tuition. And she wasn't going to be able to go back to Penn State, and she needed $500. So I said to my mom, I said, call her, don't tell her it's for me. I'll send you a $500 check, give it to her. Why would God lead me to do that? I was concerned if my service charge came back, I'd bounce it. Why? I had to work 35 hours a week in Bible school to make it. Why would God do that to me? Because I thought it was about money. It had nothing to do with money. John, if I can't trust you to obey me and money is your impediment, you'll never be able to fulfill the mission of your life. And not just what you do for God, but in your everyday relationships. If you don't know how to be a giver in the face of contradictory evidence and feelings, you will never live the life you were meant to live. You will never be congruent with the image of God in you, which is a giver. That's why Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. The third thing is this. Tithing and giving is God's way to prosper us and to use us for His glory. Tithing and giving is the avenue by which God has chosen to bring back to you His abundance in your everyday life, where He wants to pour out His favor and blessing. Listen, and by blessing, I don't just mean hypothetical blessing. I mean in substance form, in even financial form. Again, there are over 1,000 scriptures in the Bible speaking to God's will, desire to do that for you and me. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, Paul wrote to the church of Galatia, talking about money, here's what he said. Don't be under any illusion. You cannot make a fool out of God. A man's harvest in life will depend entirely upon what he sows or gives. What he says simply is this. Your giving is a seed. And as a farmer's harvest depends entirely upon what he puts in the field, your harvest in life will depend entirely upon what you give. Why? Because Jesus, do you know Jesus said, except a corn of wheat, a seed, die and fall into the earth, it abides alone. But if it happens, it will bring forth a great harvest. Do you know Jesus was God's tithe? Do you know that Jesus was God's gift? He came and He died alone. And He died and He was planted into the earth. But He rose from the dead. And now the world is different. Now I'm going to heaven and not hell. A man's harvest in life depends entirely upon what he sows and gives. A man's marriage, a woman's marriage, depends entirely upon what they sow or give. The way you are in your employment, every part of your life, you can say that entirely, because you can't get further than the seed you plant. I wanted to show you a 2-minute video of a family in our church that a couple years ago, because I only teach about this subject every couple years or so, they listened to that series of messages and they took a step. I want you to listen to their story, just 2 minutes, then I'm going to take you right back into God's Word. I'm going to wind this up.
Hi, my name is Mike. My family and I have been coming to Victory Family Church for the last 5 years. But really, when our first son was born about 3.5 years ago is when we started coming on a regular basis. And it was around that time, Pastor John played a video during service. Pastor Robert Morris's Blessed Life. And really sitting there and hearing the concepts behind tithing, the reason that God asks us to do it, it changed my life immediately sitting in that chair. So at the beginning, there was hesitation. We were in our old house. We had 2 young kids. We were cramped for space. We were trying to save for a new bathroom. But we kept playing over and over in our mind, walk by faith and not by sight. And so we just started the week after, hey, we're going to set aside this 10%. This is what God asks us to do. It might be uncomfortable. It might be new. But we're going to set it aside and we're going to see what happens. I can't stress enough how immediate the results were after we started setting aside that 10%. When I started tithing, opportunities came out of the woodwork that weren't even in the landscape at all. I had the best year that I ever had in sales, and a new employment opportunity came across in the same year where not only were we able to get the bathroom that we had been hoping for and praying for, we were able to get an entirely new house, which I would say was our dream home. And how immediate that was, that is truly God-given. There's no way that I could have done that on my own. It was resources being poured onto me from God, and I believe it's because of tithing. So I want to say thank you to Pastor John, and I want to say thank you to Victory Family Church for communicating how important tithing is and for the impact that Victory's curriculum has had on my life and on my family's life.
Isn't that a great story of obedience? Come on, man. You know, sometimes when we think of God blessing us, we think of us. And that's all we can get our minds around. But my hope today is in these next three weeks is to help you see the application of this, of the paradigm of being connected to God's giving heart and His nature, and how it will so far exceed the boundaries of your own life. In the book of Malachi, God speaking to His people about tithing, listen to what He said. He said, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse at your local church, that there may be food or substance in my house. Now listen to what God says about this. It's the only place I find this in the Bible. Test me in this. Prove this. Put me to the test, said the Lord Almighty, and you watch and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing, you will not have enough room for it. Now he's talking about, he's actually talking about being blessed as a nation financially, Israel. And that applies to the individual as well. And what he literally said was that the tenth, the dime of every dollar that you make, you bring it. You don't give it, you bring it. Just prior to this, they were complaining to God about the circumstances of their life. God, why is this happening and why is that happening? Where are you in this, God, and where are you in that? And the words, the Bible said, were stout against God. And God answered them and said this, will a man rob God? Just prior to this verse. They said, where have we robbed you? He said, you've robbed me in tithes and offerings. What do you mean you robbed me? A dime of every dollar that I make in my life, God said, is eternal in its use. You understand, I'm not robbing God of money. I'm robbing God of eternity for people because He has chosen to work together with me out of the nature of Christ in me, a giver. And when I take what God said as an eternal focus and I bring it into a temporal world and consume it, He said, you've stolen something from me. People say, well, you're stealing money from God. Does God need my money? what we're stealing is the outcome of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Savior. Most Christians live and die in this. They never conquer this in their fear life or their faith life. It has nothing to do with money. Nothing. In Malachi, he said, there's an overflow in your life. And God is not just talking to you as an individual, but to us as a church and as his people. And he said, when you live this way as a people, I will begin to bring not just my blessing to you, but then there will be an overflow. That's why starting on tomorrow, I'll be here at 6 a.m. tomorrow leading. And we Monday through Friday have prayer for our 21 days of kingdom prayer and fasting. And I want to encourage every one of you to pray and fast in these 21 days. Make these steps spiritually in your life. Well, I don't know if I'm spiritual enough to do it. Do it. And that's how you get spiritual. So prayer is your relationship with God. Fasting is your relationship with the world. What do you mean fast? Something that your body craves for 21 days, tell it no. Most people live and die and never tell this body no. Most people think how they feel is who they are. We're praying, we have a devotional. Every day of the 21, we're praying for one of the ministries that we're supporting in the world. And we're praying for the kingdom of God to expand in the earth. When you tithe and then give, and I'll give you more details about the intricacies of this and how it relates to you expanding within your life. You step into the purpose of God and you labor together with God. And can I tell you, you've never had a business partner like God. He said, when you labor together with me, he said, I'm good to you. And I want to encourage you to understand this, that as a kingdom builder in this church, it's your generosity that God has connected this occurrence to, not all only, but part of it. He's called us as a church and you to be a part of what I believe is a great awakening in the Northeast. And I talked to you a couple of weeks back about the vision and the call of God upon this church. And I don't have time to go into it today, and I'll give you more and more of it as it emerges. And it's emerging so fast, it's hard to keep up with it. And I believe there will be thousands, listen to me, thousands of churches in every town, in every city, in every hamlet in the Northeast that will be churches that today are declining or have died. And they're going to become a new wineskin for new wine. And that new wine is the next generation of leaders that are going to go into that place. And through your generosity, you're going to help train those leaders. Through your generosity, and for many of you, your talents. Some of you have no idea how God's going to tap you on the shoulder when this thing begins to emerge, because it is bigger and broader than anything I can wrap my mind around. Yesterday in prayer at 9 o'clock over in the auditorium, we have prayer every Saturday morning, and if I'm in town, I lead it. And during the 21 days of prayer and fasting, there will be prayer there as well, 9 to 10 o'clock every Saturday. And it will continue that way on Saturdays. While we were in prayer, the Holy Spirit spoke something to my heart. I want to read it to you. And I want to close with this, because I want you to see that your fulfillment of God's giving paradigm in your life isn't just about you, you're four no more. It isn't just about you being blessed. It's about you living the life you were meant to live, a kingdom life. Then watering others, you actually water yourself. Here's what he spoke to my heart. And he was talking to me. John, you've been content with boiling a kettle of water. But I want all of you as my people, this church, and through the call upon this church, to boil an ocean. But you're content with boiling a kettle. And in the middle of it, these words, Ephesians 3:20, I know what that means. He said, I'm the God that wants to do exceedingly and above and beyond anything you can think, ask, or conceive. He said, that's who I am. Anything, John, you can think of, conceive, or even ask for, take that and then think exceedingly, beyond, and above it. That's what I want to do. And you're content boiling a kettle and asking me to come and light your little candle. And your kettle goes, no, 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 son. He says, I want you to be a part of a catalyst to boil an ocean. God, how do you boil an ocean? Son, you have to make one to know how to boil one. Y'all ever made one? I've never made one. I swam in one. I've never made one. And he said, and this is what he spoke to my heart. John, you're content with boiling a kettle. I want to boil an ocean. A great awakening in the Northeast. Listen to what he wrote. This is just to me, but it's for all of us. John, that's the difference between a fully surrendered life and one that is not. The stewardship of your life and your resources is for this purpose, not some law-keeping religious mandate that has no real-life impact in your life personally and in my church corporately. When you understand that God wants you to labor together with Him as a kingdom builder, that your tithing and your giving is part of what He has chosen to use. For some of you, it will be talents that we don't even know what talents we're going to need, but they're here. I promise you, they're here. Some of you have no idea if, as you begin to be faithful and bring to God what belongs to Him, it requires faith in your heart to do this. And I'll leave you with this today as we pray a prayer of consecration as a church. You see, the reason giving is so critical and tithing is so critical because it takes faith in God to do this. It means that I have more faith in the presence of God than the absence of this dime. And every time in my life that the Holy Spirit has led Michelle and I to do anything, it's almost always been connected to giving at a level and in a way that it was hard to do. It required me and Michelle to say no to what we thought, what we felt, what we thought was leaving our life, and trust Him. And what I've watched God do in 35 years and 20, almost 6 years of this church, man, a couple hundred here, a couple thousand here. One time, $35,000, all that we had in our ministry accounts, stopping our monthly support. It went from $6,000 a month to $150,000 a month, like that. All of these things. And what I realized is that it wasn't that God was trying to get anything from me. He was trying to prepare me to trust Him, to boil an ocean, to see a great awakening in the Northeast, and to get to be a part of that. We get to be a part of that. Your generosity is what makes a difference. Your time, your talent, your treasure. And God's going to bring it to pass, and He's going to privilege us to be a part of it. What an honor. What a privilege that is. And I want to pray for every one of you today. Not that you'll start tithing. Please hear my heart. It isn't about money. It has nothing to do with money. It has to do with the ability to trust Him. Faith, it is impossible without it to please God. And that's why money is so critical. It's a window into my ability to trust. It tells me every day of the world who I trust. And I don't want to die on this earth and this is what I put my trust in. I just don't. And what I found is that He's faithful. And I've watched tens of millions of dollars pass through this church. And tens of millions more will pass through outside of this church. Not sticking to my hands. It's going out into the kingdom. What does He have for you? What does He have for your kids? What is in your tomorrow? Not just individually, but as a group, as a church. Let's consecrate to that. Because we are privileged to labor together with the One who shed blood for us. I want to pray for you today as we pray and just trust Him. Heavenly Father, I thank You for every man and woman in this church. I thank You for those watching online. I thank You that each one of us can learn to steward our lives and bring You the part that is Yours that's designed for eternity and eternal things. And above that, Lord, that we can trust You to give above it and to bring to choose to give into kingdom builders above that and to see this world change. Thank You for the ministries around the world. Thank You for the local church expansion across our nation. And we thank You for the privilege of pouring into future Christian leaders that will fill these churches in the Northeast with the life and the fire of God in every town and every hamlet. Our generosity will help prepare the way for these men and women, these young men and women, to stand in their offices of ministry, and the teams of young men and women and not so young men and women will come alongside them. And every town and every village and every hamlet in this Northeast will be absolutely touched by a life-giving church. Father, we trust You for that. We consecrate ourselves. We dedicate ourselves to the One who loves us, to the One who died for us. And Lord, help us to understand Your giving paradigm. In these next several weeks, Holy Spirit, I pray that You bring not a rule to anybody, but a revelation of how they were meant to be used by heaven and how this will affect generations to come, not just apart from them, but within their own family. I trust You today We trust you together. In Jesus' wonderful name, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here this morning and you were to draw your final breath and slip into an eternity, do you know where you'd spend it? Jesus said there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun, and all the price he paid so that men and women don't have to pay the debt of their own sin. You see, every person's sin requires a payment. Mine does, yours does. And when I die, one of two things will have happened. I will have received the payment that Christ made in my place, and he was punished in my place. And then he rose from the dead and offers me eternal life. Or I will pay for it myself. That's not up to God. That's up to me. It's up to you. Will you trust in yourself, in your own goodness? Well, I go to church. Church doesn't do it. I believe in going to church. It's important. Well, I'm a member of a church. That's wonderful. I've had sacraments of a church. Wonderful. Baptism, confession, communion, confirmation. There's no sacrament of any church, including the one you're in, that will make you right with God. No membership of any church, no pastor, no priest, no pope, no imam, no one but Jesus. If you've never openly, knowingly, willingly invited Christ into your heart, he only comes by invitation. And he turns no one away. And when you invite him in, your sin debt is canceled and you receive the gift of eternal life. And when you leave this earth, you will stand forever in the presence of a God that loves you. With every head bowed and every eye closed, in a moment I'll ask you to raise your hand right where you're seated, and I'll pray for you right where you're seated. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. If you're watching online, you're home alone or wherever you're at, this is going to be between you and God. We'll all pray the prayer out loud together with you right where you're at. This is not something for you to do heroic, but to receive the heroicness of a Savior who died in your place. So if you're not sure where you'd spend eternity and you believe he's the Son of God, died on a cross to bear your sin debt, buried and rose from the dead, and affords you as a living Christ today eternal life. With every head bowed and every eye closed, say, Pastor, I want to receive Jesus into my heart today and know that I have eternal life, and I don't. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Just lift your hand real high, and I'll pray for you. Do it right now, and I'll pray for you right where you're seated. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. You can put your hands back down. Thank you. Listen, if you say, well, I didn't raise my hand because I was afraid you're going to make me embarrassed. No, you can see I'm not going to embarrass you. This isn't about you being singled out. One last moment, if you didn't yet raise your hand, say, Pastor, please include me in that prayer as well. Just right where you're seated. Just lift your hand until it's acknowledged, and I'll pray for you as well. Do it right now, and I'll pray for you. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Thank you. You see, your eternity is worth the wait. It really is. It's worth the extra 30 seconds. If you raised your hand, or you should have, pray this out loud where you hear it. Jesus will come into your heart. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And oh, what a journey you're going to begin today into the hands of a loving Father that has a purpose beyond imagination for you. If you raised your hand or should have, pray this out loud together, and we'll all pray it together with you. Pray it where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father. Pray it where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on the cross to bear my sin debt. I open the door of my heart and the door of my life. And Jesus, I invite you in. I receive you now to be the Savior and Lord of my life. Thank you for coming. I am now a child of God. My sin is wiped away, and I am heaven bound. And Jesus is the Lord of my life. Amen. Amen. Give them a hand as they just receive Jesus. Best decision of your life. As Harrison makes his way out leading us in our giving, I hope you can make these next 3 weeks a priority. Because I'm telling you, there's something amazing in your future. And I pray that you let God into every corner and crevice of your heart, every corner of your life. Harrison, come on, lead us in our giving. God bless you. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray that you were blessed by God's word. For additional teaching, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.